Hi, and welcome to episode number 3 with Jonathan Eastman. We are talking about 3 powerful and moving marketing tips to be our authentic true self, to be able to convey our message to our customers with clarity, to be able to have a unique selling proposition or a USP. And that brings me to our third tip, and that is how to find the ideal customer. You know, to me, if there was ever a bad experience in my business, it was because it was not a right fit. It was not the right customer. And we were talking about emotions and feelings in the last episode about how, this feeling of inauthenticity and being told to do one thing in the education system or through our parents or through societal conditioning or through friends or, you know, whatever the medium, that is not ringing true to who we are. It's the same thing that will lead us to the wrong client, the wrong customer, and a lot of money, time, energy lost, and a lot of heartache. You may be able as an entrepreneur to get that one customer or that, you know, a couple of customers that come in that will take 95% of your time, and they will make you feel like totally like crap, like incongruent, where it's not a right fit. When we are true to ourselves, when our message is true to our unique story and our unique selling proposition and who we are, when our story is connected, rooted from things that are not in alignment with who we are and what we're here to do, we cannot service the entire 7 billion people on the planet. We have to be able to find our niche or our niche. And to be able to do that, we have to be able to bring our story. And Jonathan was sharing his story in the last episode, and I wanted to continue a little bit of that story now and relate it to our ideal target customer, the customer who will, you know, maybe have the same values and beliefs. For example, you know, if we're trying to, for lack of a better term, sell mom and dads that have very young babies and children, I'm kind of using that as a reference because I can relate to that right now, to the life I had before when we were just having fun in Las Vegas, selling them, you know, a Vegas, freak show or something, or you know, giving them free gifts to, you know, going out to have happy hour, you know, at Caesar's Palace or whatever it is. I mean, think about how inauthentic and incongruent that would be. Like, what if I opened my mail today and in my mail came like coupons for, you know, wine tasting? I mean, when someone is pregnant, they're not supposed to drink. So that's a message to market complete incongruency. There's nothing wrong with drinking wine. There's nothing wrong with being pregnant. But when you put the two together, you have a retarded, you know, deformed baby. So, you know, they don't go well together. The same, I mean, that's like an extreme example. But people will have, you know, watch television and there will be like temptation. Like sometimes I watch like a couple of things and then there'll be like all this temptation for drinking alcohol and all this other stuff. And it's like, well, I didn't have that thought to go have a drink before. Why is the thought kind of entering my mind now? And it's what we're talking about, our story. Like when we're in school, it doesn't have to be like an intense story of pain. It can be, but sometimes it's a simple thing where, you know, someone, a friend of ours is saying, hey, why don't you take this extra drink? And you know you have to drive or whatever it is. And you know in your heart that if you do, it's going to be incongruent with your true self. Or what if you're a non-alcoholic drinker? Or what if you're just a social drinker and you're being forced to go over the edge? Where do you stand in that courage to be true to yourself? It's that same skill that's required to be a successful entrepreneur, to be able to be firm, to be truthful, to be authentic, to be real. As children, we don't have that choice. When we're young adults, we don't have that liberty and freedom to say, hey, no, thank you. But as we grow up and we have, businesses and we have things to do and we're really successful in those areas, we have to sometimes make those tough decisions. And I think that's what's going to stop the pain and separate some of the past and how we can attract our ideal customer is that we have the courage to, leading back to, episode number one and number two, when I was talking about being true to ourselves and having a clear message and a unique selling proposition. And my concluding thought on that topic is, for all of time, for all of the universe, there will never, ever be another carbon copy of you. There might be carbon copies of your teeth or your bone, when your bone structure, your skeletal structure, when you're long gone. But for as long as you're here in body, mind, spirit, your EQ, your IQ, your spiritual quotient, your SQ, your PQ, your physical quotient, that combination of body, soul, mind, spirit, and human being is only going to exist this one time only. And even if they cloned you, you would still not be that person, because a clone cannot take on the soul of who you are. Your soul is a free being and it will move on where it moves on. I don't want to get too religious, but whether we believe in the resurrection or not, or reincarnation or not, is not relevant. What's relevant is that we know that when someone's going to the funeral home, we don't say, that person has arrived. We say, no, their body have arrived, because it's the body. It's not the other components. It's not your intelligence. It's not your spiritual side. It's not your soul. It's not your mind. It's just the flesh, which came from the earth, and it's, from dust to dust. So to have a right message to market, I feel, is very important to be honest with. My mission is very simple: to bring our soul and our spirit and our authentic self, our true self, as I would say, or our spirit, into our business, so that we're not discombobulated business people that are burnt out and overworked, and like people that have that have jobs that don't have maybe much of a say. They have to do what their employers are saying. Or if you're an employer listening to this, I would encourage you to, Entrepreneur Magazine is now talking about, some of their articles is talking about allowing for your workers and your employees to have a little bit of authority and say in their own work and what they do. Treat people like human beings, value their time, value them, and show them that, you trust in their higher intelligence. Now, of course, we can't say that for every person, because we all have to, screen and have person, can't have a total nitwit and put them in charge of things and have a mess at the end. I mean, we have to use our intelligence there. What I'm saying is use discretion, but maybe you can test people, give them a little bit of autonomy and see how a human being functions, and a person will function at their optimal, rather than feeling caged in and locked in and having to kind of pretend and be inauthentic. So I'll hand it over to Jonathan here to share, his thoughts, and continue with tip number three, is identifying, connecting with our ideal customer through our story, through our clarity of message, and bringing it all together for you.
Yeah, thank you, Indira. And this is definitely, this tip is really a big one, a really good starting point for anybody that is getting into business, a new business, just starting out, or anybody that's, I've been in business for a while but never really seen the kind of the growth or success that they wanted, not really knowing much about their marketing and tuning in to that ideal customer, and just using the approach of kind of a broad marketing campaign, which is something that I came to understand was a really big thing that I had to shift when I started out. You think you have a great product. And I used to think, they say, who's your target customer? I'd be like, everybody needs this product. And many people go through that that phase where you kind of think everybody should buy your product. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. I mean, when you want to put billions into marketing and branding, yes, you'll have potentially billions of people coming across your your product, but to start out or for a smaller business, it's really, really crucial to focus in on that ideal customer. And something that really, a statistic that was very baffling to me that I learned about marketing was that up to 80% of the negativity that's experienced with sales and marketing is because someone is trying to sell something to a customer that doesn't even want it. And so that goes back to sales, where the misconception that a good salesperson can sell someone anything, you know, and that's where the negativity comes from. I don't even want the product. And so that resistance and that bad experience that ends up, you know, burning itself in our mind, if it's bad enough, of this person, you know, got so angry because they didn't want my product, and I was trying to, you know, tell them how great it was and everything. When you learn the qualifying process, it's so crucial and targeting your ideal market, because you are going to be filtering out the people that there's absolutely no chance that they'd even want the product, so you miss out that resistance. I mean, you essentially eliminate that resistance and negativity that you would experience going there. And so it's like when it's a perfect match, it's this, like I said, it's like a seamless thing. It's like they really want it, and the more that you put into targeting your marketing, the less work it's going to be on the back end of actually finishing, completing the sale. It's not going to require a bunch of convincing and dropping prices and all these things. And so it really helps to save a lot of time, energy, everything. You know, it may take some research and a little bit of training to learn how to do that. But what we're going over today is just really tuning in to that ideal customer. What you can do is just imagine who would want what I am offering. What do they look like? What do they do? What do they love? What do they hate? How old are they? You know, what is it that they'd like to see change? Just ask these questions. Pretend you're them, and eventually you'll come up with what's known as an avatar. You know, that one ideal customer. You can come up with a few, but if you get that one, and your marketing message is going to that one person, once they hear it, it's such a match. They say, "Oh my gosh, that's me." And I would like to buy from you. That's really how it ends up happening. But to bust the myth of you want to market to everyone because it's the greatest product, that's okay. You know, a lot of people go through that. And what ends up happening there is when it's not specific and it's going out to everyone, it really isn't targeting anyone. So it's hard to know if it's for everyone. How can I know if it's, you know, if I'm a customer, say, wait, that's me, because if it's for everyone, then you don't get those specifics of really that person, that this is for me. And so that's a really important key. And sometimes when you know, eventually when you get that done, you will run into people that are like strikingly exactly like the avatar you created. It's really amazing. And when you target, when it becomes such targeted marketing like we have the ability to do today with the internet and everything, you get people that you really want what you have, and they get a chance to see what you have and hear your story. And what I wanted to share about that is that it doesn't require, you know, having to build a huge business and a million commercials about, you know, how great your drink is or whatever it is. Now with marketing, now people kind of choose where they go. And with many of the things on the internet and how the whole information of the internet is connected, even in a brick and mortar business or outside, we get to really let people choose their own marketing in that sense. And so it's really interesting. So when they choose, there's not the resistance. And what I wanted to say was, you know, if you really think about it, I've observed it in my experience, and I know that many other people have. Even if you have the greatest product in the world, and this could definitely change someone's life, if they don't like go through the aspect of buying into the belief, and they don't understand the value of it, even if it's free, there's so many free things out there. A person won't even care. You know, they won't give it a shot. And so you have to communicate to them, get them to understand what it does and why it's going to benefit them and things like that. Because if without that messaging, no one, they either don't know or they don't make that commitment to actually buy into, even if it's a free product that will make their life better. How do they choose? I mean, there's hundreds of things they can, thousands, millions even of products they can try for free out there. And so when you do that targeting and when you have them understand the value it's going to create for them, then they choose, okay, yes, I will give this a try. And they start to see the value behind what you're offering. So that's just a really interesting observation, is that even if it's something very, very valuable that other people are paying thousands of dollars for, if it's not a right fit, and basically the bottom line is if someone doesn't want something, there's nothing, no other proceeding from there. There's no amount of money. There's no free anything. If they don't want it, then, you know, it's really not going to make that much of a difference. You know, of course, if it's a commodity or a necessity, they still want it because they want to avoid the pain that comes if they don't have it, you know, or the inconvenience or you know, whatever it may be. It gets to the point where the pain is, they would rather, you know, get the solution before the pain gets too great. And going back to my story of when I decided to kind of let go of some of my individuality and what I believed in and kind of conform, if you will, into something that I thought would please others, is when the pain got too great. I decided to avoid the pain. And so, again, that's what drives many people, you know, either trying to feel good or avoiding the pain. And as an entrepreneur, you have to be driven by other things, because there will be ups and downs. There will be times when you'll experience disappointment or this or that. I don't want to say that there are not businesses where people just take off. There are. You know, but it, like anything, when you grow, there's some challenges, some growth that has to occur. And growth, the very nature of growth is that it's uncomfortable. You know, when we were children and we were getting teeth, or we were learning to ride a bike, it's scary. You have to get into this new endeavor. You have no clue what's going to happen. You could look stupid. You could experience pain. You could get hurt. You know, there are many different things. But why we get into the purpose aspect and the story and why we're doing this when we do the Mind Power, and also featured in Cosmic Accounting, it's called Dharma, is because that will keep you on course with what you really want to do if you really focus on that, regardless of what challenges you face. And I always like to look at it as a learning lesson. Even if it's painful, or even if we try to sell something or go out and market something and it falls completely flat, you learn, you get the data. That marketers are constantly learning. So it's this thing that it's not perfect the first time. You know, it's really just a culmination of many different things, and you're getting the cream of the crop typically when you start to get those best results. And so that's part of the reason why after many, many years of experience, someone can begin to charge premium prices, because you're getting, you know, it may seem so simple, but so much went into that product or service, you know, so many experiences, that it's going to save you all that time, money, energy that they went through if you're embarking on a similar endeavor. And so that's another way to have a great, you know, when you have a great USP, it's your story, it's your experience, and you're using the knowledge that only you have that particular interpretation of, then you begin to be able to charge what you're worth and say it with a straight face and feel great, help others feel great, and help them see the value in when you invest in yourself and you're investing a higher price or something, you're actually telling yourself to make something more valuable as well. So it's kind of goes both ways, and that gets a little bit more into pricing. But I'm going to turn it back over to Indira, see any other things she might want to add. But really, that kind of sums up the third tip on targeting your ideal customer and how valuable that is. And I would like to turn it back over to Indira.
So yeah, I think that we have been able to provide these three tips and tremendous value. You know, there was so much covered in this particular series. You know, Jonathan and I have these amazing conversations sometimes, and you know, him being the sales and marketing director for our company and his level of you know, experience and expertise there. One thing I wanted to add in conclusion to everything is we started out about being authentic, being true to ourselves, having a clear message, and that message starts from inside of us. Who am I? Who are you? What are you here to do? What difference will you make for this planet, for this world? What was the reason that not just you as an individual, your team, your businesses, your life, your family life, your soul, why did you come to planet Earth to live here for the next foreseeable, you know, 75, 85, 90, 100 years? Why are you here? What makes you unique? Who makes you you? What are the things that, you know, make the things about you so special and so important that if you do not share your light, we're missing out? This is not about, you know, there's so many other sales companies, there's so many other marketing companies. I really feel that I need to spend a few hours and lots of episodes on one of my very strong beliefs is there is no competition. I don't believe in competition. I feel that there is diversity, that there is adversity, there is a lot of challenging situations, but there is never competition in my world because I don't feel, you know, that it's an arrogant statement. I just feel that no one can compete with me because there aren't very many psychic, you know, accountants with the experiences that's on my LinkedIn page or my resume. There aren't very many Jonathan Eastmans out there. There are not very many, you know, and fill in your name. I would love to know your name and, you know, what kind of businesses you're in and get to know you on a different level. I love to build relationships and connect. So what makes you unique? Who are you? And that takes the competition out of the picture because there can't be competition when you focus on your story. What was it about Jonathan's experiences as a young person growing up, you know, in his education system, in his family life, in his personal life, in his social life, in his personal, you know, pains? What made me unique and what makes you unique? What are those key points that led up to what you are? That will lead you to your story. What is your story? Who are you? Where were you born? And then finally, you know, the most important thing is to realize in every story, it would be pretty boring if it was like, you know, once upon a time, there was a boy named Jonathan, and there was a girl named Indira, and they grew up in a land, and it was all beautiful, and there was sunshine, and no rain, and everything was dandy and perfect all the time. It was an ideal world. Well, gee whiz, that story doesn't have very much of a excitement and mysticism. And what's your story? Or is there twists and turns? Like, what happened? How do you express your story? In that pain, I want you to remember in the great words of one of my great spiritual teachers, is Swami Sri Yukteswar, who was Paramahansa Yogananda's teacher. He said that, and I teach a lot of this in Mind Power for Success, is life is not about the positives. We all want to feel good. I do. I'm sure you do. As human beings, we want to feel loved, we want to feel compassion, we want to feel, you know, that experience of being nurtured, and we want to feel these good feelings. But according to him, it's not about that. Neither is it about the pain. You see, most of us, as Jonathan was saying, on a human level, on a maybe mind power level, we function on avoiding pain or moving towards pleasure. And we don't want discomfort. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. We don't want to move and do the challenging things, the things that hurt or maybe make us feel a little, you know, in my case, maybe feel stupid or awkward or geeky or whatever it is. We don't want things that make us feel negative. But it is in the dirt, in the soil, in the black dirt, the hardness of the earth, that the trees are sprouted and the roots take root. It is in the pain that we grow and we become stronger. It is in our gums that our root, the root of our teeth takes root. It's in the, you know, in the growing of our cells. It's in the expansion that we become adults and teenagers and older and mature. So if we try to stop the process of as an entrepreneur in life to completely want to feel la-di-da all the time, then that's that's not that's an idealistic life, and it's fine. However, it's good to have a positive mindset. But when adversities come up and challenges come up, we cannot allow that to stop our work and our mission and our vision and our purpose for what God created us and what we're here to do. You know, we may have, the blessings of having a job would be that we have a schedule, and if we don't show up, then someone's going to notice and they're not going to like it in HR department, and then there's going to be a pink slip and someone's going to say something about it. When we're entrepreneurs, we don't have that someone to do the, you know, clocking in and clocking out for us and checking and being accountable to the HR department or payroll for our time. We're accountable to ourselves. As an entrepreneur, we're entrusted with a tremendous amount of things. So that adversity, when it comes up, to sum up this in conclusion for this, you know, for this series with Jonathan, I may interview him again and again because he has so much to share. We have so much to share, just to give, you know, to continue to give you guys until I get my my baby pains out of the way, my clinic appointments and things like that, so I keep the message continuing with you. If we think about our brain and our head and our literally our minds, where our minds are sitting in our brain and our head, there's a left hemisphere, which is our logical mind, and then there's a right hemisphere, which is our creative mind. So you want to visualize that. Literally put your hand on the left side of your head and think about all the functions that it controls. You know, linear, mathematical, logical, analytical, and then kind of touch the right side of your head and think about that. That connects to being, artistic, being creative, being spontaneous, being intuitive, being open, complete no structure. Entrepreneurs a lot of times have a lot of the creative side, and sometimes not very much of the logical. Employees a lot of time have the logical because they need to be kind of dictated and told what to do. So the positive aspects, the negative aspects, the left brain, the right brain, think about those things. They're like, we're like two different people in one body. We have a male side and a female side. We have, tall and short. We have light and dark. We have, strong and weak. We have these things as part of our life. We have the sun and the moon. We have these opposites. But if we functioned on the opposites, we'd all be bipolar, wouldn't we? So would you want to have a business, a bipolar business, you know, as an entrepreneur? Absolutely not. So what do you do instead? You focus on your unique story. You focus on your reason why you're doing what you're doing, who you are, what you're here to do. Why is that important to your soul? Why is that music so important for the rest of the world to hear? And when the days come, when things are great, then fly high with it, but don't fly so high that when the lows come, you fly really low. Learn to stay firm in your what I call neutral zone. And, you know, maybe I'm going to start to teach more and more about that. And in Mind Power, we talk about getting to the neutral zone and understanding through surrender to unconditional love how to neutralize energies to have high EQ, emotional quotient, so that we're not overwhelmed by our emotional states of mind. You know, we're not up when we get a great client and we're down when we don't. We have to watch these things and we have to stay in the middle. And, you know, if great things come, appreciate them, celebrate them, enjoy them, be enthusiastic about them, and then let them go. Don't try to hold on to that state, because then you're going to miss the next most amazing synchronistic event. You know, don't try to avoid pain by holding on to what feels good. You know, just if something terrible happened and it's a negative experience, and, you know, Lord knows, maybe our past or our family or whatever it is, or society or school, it could be multitudes of reasons that created a pain for us. Why think that that's going to happen to us again and again and again? That creates that situation and allows the universe to continue to repeat it until you learn the lesson. Hey, yeah, that happened to me in the past. Yeah, that was a challenge. But why not release the negative things just the same? The negative people just the same. And then stay focused in your messaging based on your authentic true self, so that you will attract to you the right and ideal customer, the right and ideal client. Because the right and ideal customer is not going to be somebody that looks and feels like someone that didn't believe in you, that might have looked like an abusive person. And like, I can, as soon as I kind of look at certain characteristics of people, I'm like, you know, I'm coming up with a jingle for our show, and been starting to get some jingles going, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, this ain't for you if you're a meathead, because, you know, it's like this Australian girl, and I kind of got her to sing this tune, and I'm like, you know, if you're just, you know, mean, and you're like gonna hurt other people, you don't care about anyone else, you don't care about humanity, you don't care about your family, you don't want to make a difference in this world, you just want to, you know, make a quick buck and tell lies, and you want to screw people over, well, my gosh, you know, this ain't for you, you know. So I'm learning to be really, it helps you to define your message so clearly as an entrepreneur, that as soon as you see who's not your customer, maybe you won't be as stupid as I was and work with some of those people for lengthy periods of times and wind up in a lot of trouble that I talked about in Cosmic Accounting, and a lot of suffering and pain. When you identify who is not your ideal customer, it's just as important as identifying who is your ideal customer. If someone is going to take up a lot of your time and energy, not value you, not pay you your worth, and you're barely breaking even and you can't pay your bills based on the sales you're making with them, well, my gosh, learn how to identify them, and your story will tell you, gee whiz, I don't really like working with this type of person. I mean, they want to be abusive and they're drunk or whatever it is, you know, they're on drugs. I don't know. It could be a whole bunch of things for a whole bunch of people. Or maybe for you, it's like some woman who's whatever. I don't know. You know, you find what you're charged about. And when you find that, look for the opposite. That will help you to find your target ideal client and your ideal personality, your ideal, how much money do they make? Can they afford you? You know, I might have to do another episode just on this. So before I go on too much on that, I wanted to close on the one topic that, you know, marketing is about messaging the business. And the business, if you're an entrepreneur, it starts with you. It starts with your vision, your mission, your goal. You are the Steve Jobs. You are the Dale Carnegie. You are the entrepreneur. You will make a difference for this world. When you make a lot of money, you will be able to hire people in your business. Then that will create jobs in the economy. And it's going to be up to us, strong leaders, strong entrepreneurs, that's going to make a difference for the world. It is not going to be, you know, a handout from the government that's going to do it. We've seen that helps some to some extent, but it doesn't solve the problem. So don't get in a high and stay there and try to maintain it and avoid, you know, all the pain. And don't try to avoid all the pain just because you've been hurt. Learn to let go of pleasure, learn to let go of the pain so your life is not controlled and dictated by your emotions, and stay in the neutral zone, stay in neutrality, be open to things, and watch your life and the synchronicity of the universe flow, so long as you know your clear message that you're delivering to your customer. The infinite intelligence in the universe is very, very alive. The cosmos are awake. Every molecule of oxygen and hydrogen that's in our blood cells is outside of us, and we breathe that in. They are intelligent molecules, intelligent light molecules, and they will communicate with each other, and divine intelligence will function on Earth. It will function in your business, and you will have success. So I really want to wish you tremendous success, and I really would love for you to connect with me on my blog, you know, Mind Power for Success blog. Also, you know, we have some YouTube channels, and I have some, you know, website pages where I'd love to get your name and email. So if you would just go to the links and enter your name and email at the bottom of this little description, it would mean a lot for me. And email me at info@gvolution.com. That's info@gvolution, gvolution.com. And tell me what's going on in your business and your life. Help me to understand you better so that I can create more shows to serve your needs. And we will be in touch soon again. Thanks again. Have a really nice day.